All right. The title of this lesson is How to Build a Stronger Foundation. How to Build a Stronger Foundation. And we're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27 in just a moment. But first, before we read that, recall last week we were looking at Isaiah chapter 4, last, not this past Sunday, but the Sunday before last, where the branch of the Lord brings a shelter from storm and rain that we saw in Isaiah chapter 4 and verse 6. This past Sunday, we considered, Sunday evening, we considered the elementary principles and the laying again of the foundation of the faith that we see in Hebrews chapter 6, the first few verses of that. All of this, it kind of reminded me of that good old wise man who built his house on the rock that we'll see here in Matthew chapter. So I didn't mention it then because I was already mentioning so much. But I think now is a good time to mention it, to talk about that. So let's go ahead and read this passage. Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 24. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. And it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. You know, so many things have happened in the last few days, and you're probably thinking, I'm going to talk about the election. I actually am not going to talk about that. We had gone to, well, Victoria rather had an ultrasound taken care of, or done. Oh, where did the other one go? There was another picture. I'm going to show a couple pictures from the ultrasound that we had, or that she had. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to go with her because of some of the restrictions they had over COVID. But it was still very, very, very interesting. I was able to, Victoria did call me and had a video call. And you can see the baby's foot right there. And what is it, the head? The face, the baby's face right there. Nose and lips. Well, that's interesting. I did look at these beforehand, but there's the feet. Right there, you can see the feet. And that's probably the creepiest of these pictures. Looks like that's the baby's face. Just, I mean, Halloween was the other day. I just can't. Why would that be? Anyway, and there's the head as well. There was another really good one of the hand that was separated from this, and I thought I had it with me, but I guess I don't. But anyway. These are pictures of my new baby. Now, I don't know if it's a boy or a girl yet. We've decided not to learn that. The doctors probably know that, but we're trying to be ignorant of that just because, you know, that we already have one of each, and so we get to decide or we get to be surprised. It's something we'll be surprised by whenever this baby comes. And the great thing about it is that both baby and mama, they're both healthy, and I thank God for that. Now, and you know, it's been so such a great thing. But I know that I don't want to, well, I know that not everybody is so lucky. Not everyone is so lucky to have a healthy baby growing inside them. Not everyone is lucky enough to have a healthy mother as well. And I mean, you hear of all the babies that are not healthy, and it kind of scares you a little bit. Not that it should scare you necessarily, but sometimes when your mind is racing and you're going through all the possibilities, it kind of makes you worry a little bit. I mean, there's so many that need to go to the NICU when they're born, some or maybe having some kind of congenital disease. Or some kind of defect that you just you're worried about that. You know, children with those particular challenges, I know they're loved so much, and if that were to happen to our children or one of our children, then we're gonna love them and give them all the love that we can and care, and we're gonna take care of them. But if any of us had a choice, would we choose that situation or choose someone that didn't have those challenges? I know God gives us that choice, and so we don't have that choice, but I would prefer my kids to be healthy and to have the best options of life at their fingertips. And I know that you would too, as any good parent. It's also natural for expecting parents to worry about these things, regardless of the situation. But see, the thing is, if we remember where our strength lies, where we put our hopes, where we put our rest, ultimately, it shouldn't matter whether our child is healthy or not. As much as we want him or her to be healthy, it shouldn't matter in the long run. And here's what I mean. Our Lord loves us, and he's going to take care of us. But that doesn't mean that our baby is definitely going to be healthy. You know, for the most part, everything seems to be on track that he or she will be, but we just don't know. We just don't know. But if our foundation is strong, if we have built it on the truth of the elementary principles of Christ, we can withstand any storm. As we mentioned last week, Jesus in Mark chapter 4, he stilled the storm, the literal storm, when he was on that boat. Peace, be still. And so he can still the storms in your life as well. You know, that's why we don't have to worry about what will happen tomorrow, as Jesus talked about in Matthew chapter 6, just a chapter before this. We don't have to worry about what happens tomorrow with the election, 2 months from now, when whoever, you know, if Biden's elected, then then 2 months from now he's going to be inaugurated. We don't have to worry about that. We don't have to worry about what's going to happen 5 months from now, as is when the due date for my child is. You see, it's all in God's hands. It's all in God's hands. He will help us come what may. So let's make sure that our foundation is strong. Now the question remains, what can we do? What can we do? How can we make sure that our foundation is strong? You know, there are many, there's, you know, by way of illustration, there are so many weight loss schemes that are out there, all these different pills and things, and you know, all these sorts of things that are out there, that people say, oh, you can lose weight doing this, that, and the other. Well, you know, ultimately it boils down to two things, right? It always boils down to two things, and these are often two things we don't want to do, and that's diet and exercise, right? Diet and exercise. You know, as it is with building up your body, so it is with building up your faith. There are two things that are absolutely essential that we don't often want to do: prayer and study. These two things are so important for us. Prayer helps us to recognize our reliance on God, and it can calm our fears and our anxieties. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You know, that's one of the verses that we're having Caroline memorize right now, and she's doing a great job with it. And why? Because we want her to be anxious for nothing, to develop a healthy prayer life. And, you know, especially since Jesus talked about prayer in other places in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6, verses 5 through 15, chapter 7, verses 7 through 11. the same time, study can build your faith. Prayer can build your faith. Study can build your faith by giving you a greater understanding of the truth of God's word. And with study comes acting upon what you've learned. Doing good works, as we see in chapter 5, Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. Let your good works, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. And not only that, but we see that in plenty of other places in chapter 6 and chapter 7. We see good works thrown shown throughout the Sermon on the Mount. Just as with diet and exercise, though, there are many different methods to pray and study. Some even overlap. I mean, such as fasting. I mean, fasting needs to be accompanied by prayer, and fasting is a kind of diet. But, you know, whatever the case, we do many of these things when we come to worship together, don't we? We pray and we study together. That's one of the reasons why we do that. But it can't be limited to that. It's got to be a daily thing, something you do all the time. Just as you would be consistent with a particular diet, just as you would be consistent with a mode of exercise, if you want to be more fit physically, you know, we study God's word and worship, and we certainly pray together. But then this brings me to something else. We also need to find a group to encourage. Well, it should be helpful, I should say. It can be helpful to find a group to encourage you in your weight loss or bodybuilding journey that you might be engaged in. But you know, what's absolutely, that might be helpful, but what's absolutely essential to building your faith is to find a group to help you in your faith journey. And you know what? That's the church. Coming to worship, getting to know your brothers and sisters in Christ, and communing with one another and taking the communion and in other aspects is so important to our faith, building our faith. And yet it is often overlooked. It is so underrated. And yet it is so important for us. I hope one of the things that we learned this year, especially with the lockdowns and whatnot, the stay-at-home orders, shelter in place. I hope one of the things that we learned during this year is just how important coming together to worship truly is. You want to build your faith so that you have a strong foundation to weather any storm, whether it be a child that may not be as healthy as he or she needs to be, whether it be an election that didn't go your way. Pray, study, and worship. But first, before you can do any of those things, you need to become a Christian. Before prayer, before study will do you much good. Well, I mean, it is true. Before you become a Christian, you do need to study some in order to know what you need to do to become a Christian and what that entails, counting the cost. But ultimately, prayer, study, and worship do you the most good if you are a Christian, if you've already obeyed the gospel and put the Lord on in baptism. And I encourage you, if you haven't done that yet this evening, please do so. Let us know if you need to have that done. There will be instructions on the screen in just a moment for how you can respond to the invitation if you need to. And I encourage you to do that. And we'll take care of you. We'll baptize you. We'll study with you to see if that's something that you need to do. And we'll make sure that you are, we'll do our best to make sure that you are on that pathway to everlasting life. If you are not a Christian, rather, if you are a Christian and you need to make things right with God, I encourage you to do that. If you need to pray more, study more, come to worship more or worship in some way more, you know, please do so. Please do so. I encourage you. It is so important for your Christian life. If you have a need, I encourage you to let us know about that. If you need to make things right with God, please let us know that too. as we sing this song.